Questions, anything else from public staff?
Just out of curiosity, about how many do we have in the pipeline that are about behind?
Approximately 30 total names. We just sent a letter out to everybody that's been on the waitlist for a year to answer a survey regarding, like, if they still need the services, if those repairs have already been made, if they still meet the guidelines. Mm-hmm. So we are hoping to kind of synthesize that top half of the list down so that we can move through that faster and get caught up. But yeah, we got quite a few names on it. We had to close the waiting list for new people to try to get through some of them.
So we'll probably have some recurring meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yep, hopefully we see each other a lot more this year. Or I guess next year now we're getting there.
I think the contractors are catching up a little bit too, maybe.
That could, you know, everything got so disrupted with COVID.
Because there for a while, I mean, you were saying it was hard to get somebody to even come out and look at some of the projects.
Right. And
for the lower cost stuff.
Yeah.
And we've streamlined our check process, so contractors are getting paid faster, which was a big motivator.
They have a check that's actually has their name on it. Or before, we would have to cut the check to the homeowner because they're the ones that receive the loan and then sign the check over, which would mean that we'd have to make sometimes trips to the bank to get those checks cashed, and some of the contractors would struggle with this process, and they'd have to have their money out for a while, so they would choose not to work with us. So hopefully, like, Carrie's been working with a lot of, and she's got more people. Like, I had not worked with a lot of these people before, so she's reached out to people and gotten them to accept these projects. So hopefully with all this stuff, they'll be happy after the first one and be willing to bid on the projects versus being upset and just being like, peace out.
I tell you, Ramjack was very happy, so they'll come back and do foundation work for us again. So hopefully that's the trend that keeps on going.
Yeah.
Well, that was a new foundation company to Raytown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if foundation recovery is 25% too high, let some of those other companies come in.
Foundation recovery, I tell you what, they quoted, they gave a quote for Denise Ivy, and it was outstanding.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, the comparison.
Yeah.
Quite a bit more, but that's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
How's the homeownership grant working?
It exists, but there's not a lot of utilization right now because we bumped the limits in the last meeting, and I've had a lot of interest from, like, people that are seemingly actually in the process, like they're already pre-approved or whatever, but not really anybody started applications recently.
Yeah, ratios are tough to make it work.
Yeah.
Is it pretty easy to see on the city's page what areas qualify?
It's city limits.
Just anything?
Anywhere in city limits, yeah.
Okay. I thought it used to be a little bit more restricted for some reason.
I think it was maybe at one time, but at least for the last several years, it's been city limits.
Yeah, since I've been around.
It changed probably 10 to 12 years ago.
Is it that long ago?
Did it used to be the neighborhood?
I think it was like the CDBG.
Yeah.
I can see where that get tricky.
Because we were getting a lot of, I mean, we were blowing through the money just with CDBG eligibility areas.
Yeah.
But then it slowed down with, I don't know. I don't know what you mean by the ratios or not. Like the 10,000 doesn't help.
No,
or
it's, so your debt to income ratio. So HUD sets the income limits for these and stuff. And
okay.
It's low.
So you have to hit the low income. Plus.
And then you've got a debt to income ratio. So you got to be 35% maximum on your housing and 45% on the total debt. And by the time you get somebody in to find somebody that's not making a whole lot of money, and the cost of house prices and the interest rates, you're already past the 35%. You're blowing that out. So that it's hard to find a house
that's affordable. This is back to the issue of the homes being
as soon as the city gets off its ass and decides we want to have tiny homes, we might actually have a chance at some of those.
Yeah, I think the development along Providence is a start.
It's a start. I've got 5 acres that I could do tiny homes on.
Gotta get the zoning right.
It's zoned multifamily already. It's already been pre-subdivided into 7 duplex lots. But now they're building, they're trying to build, what, 55 townhomes right across the street from it, right out there off of McKee.
And then on North Creasy, it's got a big, what's, that's a big development of smaller platform homes.
Yeah, I haven't been out there.
I haven't either. I'm kind of anxious to see how it comes along. It's just a bunch of dirt right now.
Problem is...
But those are still going to be 200.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If they're $270,000 brand new house, then they're $245,000.
Yeah.
Molly and I went and looked at several of them, and the cheapest new houses were in the $245,000, $250,000. So
$10,000.
Yeah, like the an $80,000.
Well, it's 20 now.
Oh, it's 20.
That's a super long time.
Yeah, but 80% AMI is still not going to get you in there. Like if you're at 80% AMI and you get $20,000 down, I still don't think, unless you're riding a bike to work and you have a car payment, you're not going to be able to.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to Lincoln this weekend, and I plan on taking pictures of about 15 or 20 of their container homes that they've been putting up, a lot of them in their downtown area near the university. And they look like beachfront properties when they're done. They look beautiful. They have two decks. They have, and it's just one container here. It's a two-level home, three bedrooms.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And around the campus of Nebraska?
There's about four of them that are just absolutely beautiful within 18 blocks of the university. And it's a lot cheaper to construct.
Yeah. Something's got to give. Yeah.
Well, and then we still have ideas like what they do down in Eldon, where they took an old trailer park. And they're building homes on the lots of the trailer park and keeping the lots the same size, but they're making them affordable homes in an old trailer park. It's already got the infrastructure. They just make them the same size as the three-bedroom, two-bath, double-wide ones.
Yeah.
But it's a structural house.
Yeah. HUD funding. Any issues there right now? Or?
We think we're going to get it. But it's always, subject to something else happening. But we're supposed to be getting our award accepted and approved through council and for the 2025 money, but 2026. And you know how far off our grants were run, so it's weird to think about when the 26 will be available. But, we haven't heard anything otherwise.
I was on an affordable housing call 3 weeks ago with Ben Carson right after he got appointed by Trump to look into the affordable housing and a couple of other areas, I think to be dealing with the Department of Agriculture too. And he was talking about searching for increases in funding. So.
Yeah. No, I think the trailer park thing makes sense for...
Yeah,
there's two of them out there south of Columbia.
Well, there's a couple on the north side that could definitely... Right now, let's just say about half the homes are for the homeless in that trailer park.
Well, I just mean that they're not even trailer parks anymore.
Yeah.
That you could put tiny homes on. If somebody wants to invest in that...
It's not even that much of a tiny home, really, by the time you figure...
I was going to say, probably...
If you got a 20 by 70 space, that's getting up there. So, they've already got infrastructure, so it cuts down a lot of the cost.
Utilities and everything's already there.
Yeah.
Usually they'll have to up the sewer, but.
Yeah. Although all the ones in the city of Columbia are still already hooked up to the city of Columbia, so it's a matter of, and it's already set for 2 and 3 bedroom places, so. Even if you have to do a little bit of sewer work, it's a lot cheaper than probably your business expense is going to be putting in actual roads as opposed to gravel pits.
I think the roads even, I don't know, you'd probably have to redo a lot of stuff. I think I always figured it was people didn't want to invest in it. That's why.
That's being done in several cities now where it's really creating, the housing is... 60-70% of what it costs for traditional because of so much already being in place. Plus it depends on the type of construction you do. but.
I'm just kind of curious on, do you have any idea what the size of our portfolio is right now?
Like the historical loan portfolio? Mm-hmm. Not offhand. Would you be looking at like forgivable loans, or are you just looking at loans that were like requiring payment at some point?
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah. We can look into that and try to bring that to the next meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's helpful if we're out talking about it. We're like going, okay, we're helping 200 people. And
yeah, what's active. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. I just pulled a bunch of spreadsheets on that, too. I wish I had brought them to this meeting. Yeah.
It might actually also be nice to kind of know, just for general marketing type purposes, the fact that if it is an entire city limits, what areas of the community are we helping? Because I think, I mean, I'm a broker, and I guess I haven't paid that close attention to it because I don't do a lot in the city of Columbia, but I thought there were still limitations for some of the areas. So when's the last time we did like an actual class at Realtors? Or
6 or 8 years ago, probably.
So you figure you probably get about 80% turnover in Realtors since then.
I think it was pre-COVID, wasn't it? I don't know if you were even involved in it.
Yeah, so it's probably not.
Yeah, I mean, getting realtors involved, because if we can find people 20, that right, are, it seems like, yeah.
10% on something less than 1,200 square feet.
I don't know, it just seems like it might be something to reach out if we're trying to get some of these homes sold and fixed up, because there's a lot of them in some of these neighborhoods that are still going for. And there's one listed this week, I think, for $100,000. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath.
How much of a fixer-upper is that, though?
Just looking at the photos, I'd say probably about $45,000, $50,000.
See, they have to be up to standard when they go through the program.
Yeah.
So they can't buy fixer-uppers, unfortunately.
Which, if, you know, you get the right contract, you get the right price, I don't know.
They just wouldn't be eligible for the down payment assistance.
Until
it was done, yeah.
Yeah. Chris and Lynn, do you remember how they used to do the loan? Like what was done with loans in the past for us? Didn't we used to do some kind of loan review?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
What did that, like, I was never a part of that, and that kind of fell off somewhere along the way. Do you remember what, and we can probably look it up, but like we would bring loans to you all to potentially forgive or reduce the payments?
So we used to have Hope, and we've made it a lot easier, but we used to have this plan or this plan or this plan, and then you have to bring the ones come and do, and then that's what we worked out, those forgivables or stuff like that.
That was back when we used to structure our, like we would say due in 5 years or on title transfer. Okay.
So we got away from that, so we didn't have to do the reviews anymore.
Okay, so that was officially kind of, it wasn't forgotten or somehow. That's what I was wondering as well.
Yeah.
No, because
it's
it was
not a need anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was there ever, did we ever, like, decide to forgive loans that were kind of ongoing or anything like that? Or were it was basically just that was the loan review, and we didn't, because some of them are, you know, structured.
Yeah, so I think when we changed from the loan review thing, and if it fit this criteria when it came due, then it would roll over to this program and stuff, and so some of that got forgiven at that point.
Okay.
Because I think it's like, and you're taxing my memory here, but like if it was over 100% LTV, we were going to forgive those, that amount over and stuff like that, because there's no way we're going to get that money back anyway.
Right. Okay.
Now we have had a few since then where there was extenuating circumstances where we've been called in to do a review on a case-by-case basis and stuff.
Like, yeah. If someone couldn't make a payment on an amortized loan or something like that.
I think it was like one person was a death situation. I remember that. And then there's
change in circumstance.
Yeah. And then there's another one where she was trying to get a cash out refinance, and we don't usually let us.
I remember that.
That's the one I remember. Yeah. That was about 2 years ago, I think.
Two or three years ago, the most recent one.
Yeah,
we met at.
We were at the city hall. Building.
Yeah, so you remember that.
Because
she was trying to get them.
The ones on payment. What is our repayment situation? I mean, is everyone current? Are we? Do we run in past dues? Are we?
No. So that has really kind of fallen by the wayside. Also, we've got maybe 10 people that pay regularly, but we definitely
specifically have that. Do you want me to email it to you real quick? We can pull that up.
How many should be paying versus how many are paying? So a past dues report.
Hold on just one second. There's a lot. Let me email that to you.
Who intervenes?
Is there someone managing that? That seems like if they should be paying
and they're not.
It seems to be a little bit of a problem.
They're not. We probably need to start doing that again. Mm. I think that kind of fell by the wayside when we switched systems, but that was that predated me working here by quite a bit.
Is there a
penalty? I think during COVID we made some forgiveness.
I think technically some of those notes are probably written that we could impose late payments. But
I'm just saying use it as a kind of a carrot. We're not going to do this.
Yeah.
The thing is, if we've let it go, you know, it's easier if it's kind of hit it right when they become past due. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know.
Well,
if it's been some time, it's always harder to.
And I would guess there's at least a decent handful of people that don't know they're supposed to be making payments. So if we said, hey, by the way, they might be like, oh, sorry, let me start making
payments. I didn't know I signed that.
Well, that happens.
There was a big issue with that. That predated some of
us. Well, that was the issue with the one he's talked from 3 years ago where she was trying to get a home equity loan, and then it was plus our money was going to put her over loan to value.
Right.
And she didn't realize she had to make payments on our part.
Well,
because she had too much income.
So historically, I think a lot of people were saying this is either like a grant or you can choose to make the payments. So
yeah.
They took that as, you know, we're not going to, because there's no penalty for not making payments. So payments weren't made. And then everybody assumed it was just
a grant.
And then when it came due, or when they were told they needed to start making payments, they were like, well, I never got a payment book or whatever else, which we don't do payment books anymore, but you know, there's a lot of issues that we're not really structured to take payments as part of the problem. So like the fact that our office does it all is, you know, hard to do anyway. And if everybody started making payments right now, I really don't know how we would handle all that.
How does the Community Land Trust handle the payments they're supposed to get?
They use a totally different system. They go through QuickBooks.
Hmm.
So we currently have no method of taking credit cards. So
I'm just wondering if we can
only
somehow
take cash or check. No, we cannot use QuickBooks. But I will say the cashier's office with the city did. We are somewhere on their agenda, because I guess when they switched that payment portal for like the city utilities last year, they're trying to get anybody in the city that might be taking payments eventually moved on to that.
Okay.
And I talked to somebody about that. It's been several months ago at this point, but she was like, you guys are probably low on the priority list.
I actually talked to Chelsea at the picnic,
She
said that we're at the bottom of the list to do it, but that bottom of the list should come up within the year. So sometime in the next 12 months, we should be set up on Paycomo, which is our portal payment.
These are all the people that are owe us payments, and about 66% of those are not making payments.
So these at the top here, you've got no payments in a significant amount of time. I did notice that some of these people, whenever we switched over from One Roof, I think maybe we stopped sending out some sort of reminder.
I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. So I think some of these people were impacted by that change. And then we've got no payments ever made. Regular payments, but then like they puttered out right there at the end.
So on the no payments ever made, you've got those first three that don't show a payment amount. So what does that mean?
That's probably because 0%? Of how it was structured and neighborly. If we didn't put in the payment amount correctly, it wouldn't be tallying
a
total.
We owe a payment. We just
exactly. I would have to look a little deeper into it to know for sure. There's some things you don't want to mess with for fear of doing the wrong thing, and that was one of those things. And then if you switch over to that payments this year tab, that should be everybody who has made a payment in the last year. Some of those people still have a past due balance, and some of them don't.
And these I do get on a regular basis.
So for the ones who haven't paid in a long time or never, do we have the authority to restructure the loan to kind of begin it over? And where they start making their payments now, as opposed to them having this huge back balance, it's a balance moving forward. Well, it might be easier for accounting purposes.
They're all at 0%, so I don't know.
They're all 0%, but...
But do they know that their
they have a back balance
transferred at title change is going to be way more than what they might have thought it was?
Yeah. It's possible that these people forgot they've had a loan completely.
But if they... They pass away, and then their estate has to deal with it. They go to the estate, you know, go to probate, and probate's like, "Well, you owe the city $38,000."
Yeah,
and that, you know, that's going to be a. I would rather put them on notice as to what the current. If they haven't been making payments, then that balance that should have been reduced by payment would now be into the. You know, the title transfer balance.
I mean, I completely agree. I think we should probably maybe send an annual letter or something. I didn't know the legalities of sending specific loan information to people, but that would also give us the opportunity if they're maybe not living there for some reason to find that out too.
Well, if they're not living there, then you got a bigger problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it'd be a good idea to at least send an annual letter if nothing else. It's like, this is where you're at right now.
Here's your balances.
Because, you know, as a it's more of an informational type.
I've definitely had a circumstance come up very recently where she had no idea she owed. She was selling her home. She thought she had her home paid off. And here we are taking $20,000 exactly after her profits. And that was a mess. She was not happy.
Well,
so,
it's not a mess. It's,
well, she was just not happy. Not a happy person.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened. I mean, that's been a couple of these that have come through. The family members have asked to come to the meetings. Remember that? We had the family members come and they were trying to plead her case, and we're like, they still owe the money. Like, it's not, all of it is not 0%, 100% forgivable. It's just, we're going to get the house repaired to standard with the grant money, but at title transfer or death or whatever.
Would we ever?
There is a way, there is a way that you can transfer that debt that it doesn't become due if an eligible family members living in the house and they're under.
Well, that,
so there's ways to do it.
They can't go to open market.
You're exactly right. Yeah. But like, we set it up so that, like, for instance, this project that just got done, Alberta Turner, she was worried, like, her daughter has multiple sclerosis and she's taking care of her. And she said, I don't want to put my daughter, you know, in a bad situation where you're going to take the house when I die, which is not the case. No. Like, all we do is do an income qualification on her, and then she ends up with a due on title transfer, or it never happens because the title never shows up, like it's never sold. So there's that, like, two kind of protective measures there where we don't put them in a bad situation. But you're exactly right, like, that's, they're not forgiven, they're due on title transfer. Yeah.
Sounds like we have an opportunity for a reset here.
Yeah.
One, just maybe getting letters out to everyone saying, you know, just a reminder, you owe this much each month, or maybe
this
it's
wasn't
a generic
suggested
letter.
Payment. I think they do say they're.
Would we consider bringing back some form of loan review if their circumstances have changed and they are below the limits, or they've exceeded the age of 65, to make that a due on title transfer loan instead of a payment amortizing loan?
I'd be open.
I just think
they have to know what the new amount
is. I think that's
like
the big issue at this
time. For 3 years, and
they're
another $4,000 to their other balance because they haven't been making the $200 or $100 payment.
Some of these people definitely think that their loan's done and they don't realize there's a balance still left.
But the amount to the.
Have we not had any since 2020?
Had any
I'm just looking at the year.
Like loans that require payment, I don't think so. I think we've mostly been doing like seniors and stuff, right?
Okay.
Just 5,000.
Jake?
What? Yeah, right. But the 5,000 goes like into the
20,000. Oh, yeah, yeah. Generally, we're working with seniors. It's the people that are, you know, below 65 that end up making the payments, and we've done a lot of seniors in the past. So
there's no interest.
Generally, the last few I've done were people over 65, and they're all due on title transfer.
That's all three of the ones I've done so far.
Yeah.
Seems odd. In 5 years, we haven't done one.
Yeah, the last one I think I did was Carissa Colony that had payments.
Carissa Colony.
We are in open session. So
well, you hope you don't have to do a record. Yeah. You hope you don't have to do a transfer for a long time.
Yeah.
Because you want them to stay in the home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or stay with the family to get the benefit of the repairs.
So if you guys can make some ideas, numbers, and stuff for next meeting.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got some topics.
Absolutely. I'd happily.
Can we give you enough guidance topic for the topics?
You know, I've been kind of chomping at the bit to tackle this list, so I'm glad it came up. And, I've already got some ideas for how we're going to send those letters. It's the least we could do to make sure that people understand and know that they have a loan balance. And they can't come at us later and say, well, why do I have a loan balance? You got a letter, sir or madam.
And it's a PR nightmare.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, yeah, you want the program to benefit the individuals that we serve. Mm-hmm. And we want more utilization. You got a pipeline of 30, so it's like...
Speaking of, for some of these due on title transfer loans, this is just something I've kind of been knocking around in my mind. If we were ever going to, after a certain period of time, start forgiving those loans, like say, for example, they've stayed in the home 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And the viability of the repairs long since passed by then, maybe letting some of those go. But that's definitely a conversation for another meeting.
We were talking this morning about loans not being collectible after 20 years.
If there's a deed of trust, it's still collectible. So.
It is.
Yeah.
But the thought was that maybe we should make these due on title transfer or fully forgiven after 20 years or something like that. Because what ends up happening is that they sit so long that, you know, it's really irrelevant whether we get that money back or not.
And I'm going back 10, 12 years here and stuff, but the thought, because we always, in the past, we've always been able to use that funds. When HUD was short on grants or so, we could use that to fund the next person and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the thought process of why not necessarily do it all forgivable. That's part of it and stuff. So.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, collecting payments. Are we able to, like, you know, put this back in the coffer, so to speak?
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, I mean, you add up all these balances. I mean, it's, you know, could help other people.
Yeah, not insignificant.
It's not free money that, you know, where I'm coming from here. Thinking about being able to replenish and help others along the way.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thought process originally, or at least, and I shouldn't say originally because I've been here 15 years in the program, but it's been going on before that.
So. I do feel like there's a CDBG regulation saying that we need to have that at least in mind, like to replenish those, pay it forward, so to speak.
Yeah, was it about $250,000?
Like how much do we
balances
from
the not paid and or not paid in a significant amount of time, plus or minus. It's a fair amount.
It's a fair amount, yeah.
That could be 10 projects.
Yeah, right.
I don't really want to go to city council and say we just gave up
$25 million.
Yeah.
That's true too.
Yeah.
Any other topics? This has been good discussion.
I really think that reaching out and trying to set up a realtor thing
mm-hmm.
would be a good. They have classes there every month, and I'm sorry, but so there are a lot of people out there that are looking for houses that are in that lower income because rents have gotten to the point, and especially with Housing Authority. Dropping how much they pay for Section 8 by such a dramatic amount, the people are starting to look for alternatives because they can't afford to pay the difference in their rent.
I'm gonna talk to. I'm gonna have a meeting with Brian too. He's gonna be out on Thursday. I can talk to Brian. So bring it up. I'm sure you guys would love to do a dog and pony show.
No, if we get, you know, down payments on 5 houses in Central Columbia or out in El Cortez or yeah. wherever, that might be worth it for those neighborhoods to create some stability.
Well, it works in condo projects too, so that problem is the house has to be in good shape, and when you run into that price range,
yeah.
that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm. So, and I'm just saying, if you want to throw it out there to people who are trying to do affordable rentals, I know rentals don't qualify right now, do they? That's
no.
the homeownership.
No.
But we can figure out a way of doing that. Because let me tell you, Section 8 dropping, what was it, from 1,800 to like 1,200 for a 5-bedroom house. A 2-bedroom dropping from 925 to
where's the
756. I actually have a couple of them.
People are renting 5 bedrooms on Section 8.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that have
maybe
there's a single parent with 6 kids, and several of them are teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, they dropped, yeah, like I said, from 925 down to like 750 for a 2-bedroom. And good luck finding
yeah,
a 2-bedroom.
Yeah, I see that side of it.
Yeah. it's hurting. I know they're talking about trying to get their numbers back up after January 1st, but I have probably 12 Section 8 tenants, and they're all... As long as they don't move, they're fine. But the minute their family grows and they got to move up one and they got to get another bedroom, their subsidy drops.
Goes down.
So,
percentage subsidy.
Yeah. Yeah, because now they get more for their 2-bedroom than what subsidy will now cover for a 3-bedroom. So if they have a kid, yeah, it's starting to hurt them. So, you think it's unaffordable in Columbia now?
Mm-hmm.
Try being on Section 8. I just got a woman who's working for me. I didn't even realize that she was living in a hotel. And she'd been living there for 2 months. And
well, that can't be affordable.
$300 a week for her and her 2 kids.
Yeah,
$1,200 to live in a 1-bedroom welcome inn.
That's crazy.
And then
free breakfast.
Then she informed us that they didn't have the money to pay for a week, and they were sleeping in their car, and then her car got repossessed because she missed one payment. So I'm now renting her a nice 3-bedroom that was going for $1,500 a month for $1,000. I tried doing 1,050 because that's what they said. It could go up to 1,056, but because of her income, it could only be 1,042. So we had to rewrite the lease.
$13.
For $8, we had to rewrite the lease.
All right.
But it's that's why I see this being a program that might start benefiting a lot of people in Columbia.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
If the word got out there to the realtors, that they know how to utilize it.
Well, yeah, find a house that's enough to qualify for the down payment assistance, but then come back again and do the HVAC or do the
yeah
extra stuff through the rehab.
Which is eligible.
Yeah.
That part's eligible.
But not pre-sale.
But right. And like, as long as it's functioning at the time, and then they can go through the energy efficiency program. Exactly. Yeah. But you can't have, you know, a bunch of wiring issues and peeling lead and then get in the house, because that's not going to fly.
Yeah.
So, but they should all try.
They should all try it. I mean, there's probably at least 300-400 houses out there that would probably work.
Right.
Not for sale presently, I can tell you that.
Not for sale.
I keep seeing more starting to pop up that are under
150.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot more under 150.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Do we need a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
I'll move to adjourn.
Second. Oh, whoever.
Got it.
All in favor.
Hi.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.